This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hi, LSPod fans. It's JR here. Burt's Babes, Hoddle's Heroes, even Di Canio's Dozens. We've had some iconic lineups in our history at Swindon, just like the legendary menu at McDonald's. Parkin or Austin? Sweet curry or barbecue? Why not get a McNuggets share box to enjoy the debates with your mates? And thanks to McDelivery, every drop-off can be a home win. Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points too. No one wants to drop points at home, and with tasty rewards to earn, you won't be missing out. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. Beyond the pitch, beyond the results, we're here to connect fans, getting them to embrace the highs and lows of supporting your club, because we're not just fans, we're a team. With two in three football fans having struggled with their mental health, we understand that life off the pitch can present its own challenges. That's why we're committed to ensuring you have the tools to stay connected with your friends and fellow supporters. Take a moment to connect with your mates. A simple text or an open conversation can make a world of difference. And if they don't respond right away, don't hesitate to follow up. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Rodgers is streaking ahead and he's onside. Beautiful play! That is that!
What a good shot!
Post for Shearer, goal!
McLaughlin has it.
Oh, deflection, and a goal!
Gets to Mitchell, it's another goal!
Incredible! Hoddle! Taylor has scored, and that surely means it's the Premier League for Swindon Town now!
Fantastic goal by Jan Pjotr!
Parkin!
Austin going in! Yes!
How we win this league anyway?
Richard, he's hit it.
It's Cradwell!
Colin Doyle strikes again!
And a brilliant goal from Harry McCurdy!
Did some mailbags, and what people wanted was more of them. But instead of Terry and Dan and talking about the Trust, we've got the Trust on. So joining me from the Trust is Andy. Hello, Andy.
Hello, Rich.
A debut for you. It's good to have you on. And returning is Tom. Hello, Tom.
Good evening, Rich.
It's nice to see we're all upbeat as we brace ourselves for some of the bleakest questions that I think I will ever field any guest on the Low Strangers. Andy, are you ready for this?
There'll be a lot of nervous laughter, Rich. Enjoy it.
I will. And let's get to know Andy first, because you're new to this Trust Board malarkey. Talk to us.
So I joined the board earlier this year after being pretty vocal about quite a lot of things on Twitter, as is, I guess, the intention of the website. I decided to step up and join the board. Well, put myself forward for the board, and thankfully the members voted me in. Personally, I live, sadly, the other side of the Wiltshire-Oxfordshire border, but I am from Swindon and have had a season ticket.
Oh, well done. Oh, and Tom, you're coming back and you were re-elected. How are you finding it?
Joyous. Absolutely joyous.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of questions to go through. Maybe we'll get you both on for your own my 11s so we can talk about Swindon Town on the pitch, because there ain't a lot of that in this episode. So we'll kick off with some sort of stuff in relation to the previous board. And I don't really want to dwell on the previous board, really, because they're not here to discuss it. But the early questions here is, in hindsight, do you feel enough due diligence was done by the Trust on the current owners before deciding to back them? And then specifically for Tom, because you've just been re-elected. And all these questions were provided by listeners, so nothing here from me. The question here is, have you noticed a change in relationship from the club towards the Trust during your time involved? If so, How and has the change in the board members altered the relationship further?
So it's certainly been an interesting transition to see the trust board that was prior to the last AGM to the current board. I wouldn't say that we have directly seen any output of a change in the club as a result of the new board, and that's merely just down to lack of time to really see any evidence of that. At the end of the day, we've only been a new board for approximately like 7 weeks, I think it is. So we've only had like two board meetings as a new board, and a vast majority of that has been used to bring the huge change that we've had in the number of people that are actually serving on the board and bring them up to speed with all the bits and pieces. I would say, however, that there is certainly a new vigour about the board that is determined to speak to Clem very openly and honestly. And that has, I believe, been quite a positive acceptance from the owner in terms of how that's been received and how communication is ongoing around that. So I'm more confident that this current board would be able to deliver any changes from what we have seen. But hey, it's too early to tell. It's not just us that are stakeholders in that relationship, and it definitely takes two to tango there.
Yeah. I would love to back and forth on some of these questions, but we've got almost 40 to go through, and I think we go through a lot of the stuff throughout the questions. There will be questions that merge into others. So during this episode, either Andy or Tom can say, well, we covered it here, and we won't go over stuff over and over again. But I'm really looking forward to hearing what you have to say, because since the AGM, I've joined the trust. So I'm a trust member again. I saw the re-election or the elections as a sign of a new era. And what we've seen so far is, I think, fans frustrated with current events. And as always, people look to the trust for guidance. And it's created a lot of silence, and it's created these questions. So I've separated these 35 odd questions into three sections wherever I've been able to slide them in. One is on the JV, one is on relationship with Swindon Town Football Club, and the other one is on the county ground. I think there's a trust general, so four topics in total. We'll start with the first question here on the JV side of things. Does the joint venture reduce the trust's ability to criticise the club because of the commercial arrangement?
I would say no. I don't think that does. Ultimately, what it does enable us to do is force the club and the trust to sit down on a regular basis, face to face, in a room that we're able to have open and honest and frank conversations. If you hark back to the days of Lee Power, that just didn't happen. And regardless of who the owner is today and who they may be sometime over the next 240 odd years, that is going to need to continue, because ultimately that is what the joint venture is all about. Now, I can't speak for anybody in the future, but at the end of the day, that does force a conversation, and the board as it is certainly will not hold back in terms of voicing those opinions strongly or to the level of degree that we feel is necessary. But I do want to stress that it needs to be a collaborative relationship with whoever is the owner. There are checks and balances within that, of course, and it isn't all going to be to the club's favour in terms of what we actually have to say. And that's even evident to the conversations that I know that have been happening since the new board have been elected as well. So, you know, it's going to be very much down to the individuals that serve on that board. And I can only but encourage the fan base. Look, the trust is here to be the voice of the fans and the collective of the fans. And if there's ever a fear that the trust is not serving its purpose and is not speaking loud enough, then we are a democratic organization. We have AGMs every single year. And, you know, just like Andy, who was a vocal critic, he stood up and is on the board. And that's testament to how democratic as an organization it is. So, you know, that anybody can change that mindset if it's something that they feel is needing to be changed. So, yeah. You know, it's always up for debate. I don't think it's ever going to be a settled debate, and it's never going to sit still, because ultimately there are time limits on how long an individual can serve on the board. So yeah, it's going to be a constant question, I think, that will never be answered. It's where we are at the moment.
Andy, did Tom just tell us to reset our mindset?
He did. I have just made a note of it. We'll have a debrief about it tomorrow morning, Tom.
Thank you. Right. Next question is probably the question I received the most, and that's in relation to rent payments. So how many times has the rent payments been made late by the club so far? Have the club missed or been late on any rental payments to the joint venture in the last 12 months? Have ground rent payments been made late in the past? One day late, extremely late, over 30 days late. Recent, I think it was Mr. Phipps that said, you know, under new rules, nothing has been late. What can we say here?
So the premise of how we've approached that, you know, we've had criticism previously that the club isn't being held accountable from the trust. And this era in particular was quite ambiguous. If you think about normal business terms and processes that you supply an invoice to be paid, the invoice has then got a period of time until that's then paid. The context in relation to the rent is that more than anything, we just wanted to hold the club accountable and make that very transparent in terms of the rules of engagement around the monies paid to the joint venture by the club on as a rent for the ground. And really what we wanted to do was just lay out what those ground rules were. So, you know, we've said from the date of the payment due, you've got 30 days to pay. And if the payment has not been paid within those 30 days, which is a normal credit control process duration, then the consequences that the club should expect and the fans should be made aware of is that the rent has been paid. So that's really the premise in the thought process behind that as such. And yeah, we just wanted to be that transparent and demonstrate to the fans through that mechanism that this is how we are going to hold the club accountable in this regard, really. So yeah, apart from what James has already said, there's nothing really more for me to add to that.
A politician's answer.
That's the truth.
Okay. Does the JV mention in reserve matters relating to a change in share structure mean the change in share structure of Swindon Town Football Club?
No. We don't have any control over, or we don't need to be informed if there is any change in shareholder membership of the football club or any of its holding companies. The only time the JV is concerned is when there is a change of representation of either parties. And we've done that on purpose purely because, you know, we're agnostic. The whole deal and the JV arrangement has been set up to be agnostic of whoever the owner is. So the club is able to carry on its business as it sees fit. And, you know, the matter of the fact is that the JV is there to protect the ground and ensure the club and whoever its owner is, the team will have a place to play their football every Saturday and occasionally Tuesday, Wednesday nights, depending on what cup, league or whatever format we play in.
Sure. The club preach sustainability, but there's been inaction in trying to create 24/7 revenue into the club. Are the Trust pushing the club to improve revenue options?
Yeah, like that's been part of the massive conversations that have been happening as part of the JV. It's not something that I've been party to and a lot of representatives sat on the board, but I do know that there have been a lot of conversations around that. And that's a common theme within the club, as we've seen with the concerts, etc. That's all geared towards trying to generate that 7 day a week revenue as much as possible, and use more facilities from what we already have. So yeah, absolutely. It's exactly what the whole JV conversation has been about, and all of the plans that have been discussed and mulled over, etc. That's all very much at the very heart of it.
Sure. Given the financial instability, does the Trust have potential backers in a worst case scenario?
We don't, in honesty. There is nothing in structural place at the moment. Doesn't necessarily mean that we won't do that. But at the moment, no, there isn't anything like that at all in place or any plans around that at this point in time.
Okay, thank you. Ooh, so like I said, these questions have been provided by listeners of the podcast, and I'm reading them as they were provided. So as we move now to the relationship between the Trust and Swindon Town Football Club, the first question is, when will the Trust grow a pair and back a protest against the hierarchy of the club?
It's certainly an interesting question. Very interesting question. At the end of the day, with any protest, there needs to be a solution that is actually being sought after. There needs to be some form of a smoking gun, of something to be protesting against and angry about. Like, don't get me wrong, the way that the club has been run to date is not great. I don't think there's anybody in the Trust or in the fan base that sat there and thinking, yeah, I think we're good. But in terms of actually backing a protest, there needs to be something at the end of that tunnel in terms of what we're pushing for. If you look back to the Lee Power protest, now I wasn't part of that, but ultimately out of that protest, what you had was Clem in the background, and was ready to take over. Now within that protest, obviously the Trust called for that and backed that. We're not at that place yet. And I think there's a bit more road to run there before we get to that point. But ultimately, whatever happens out of a protest, we can't just protest because the club's been badly managed and badly run. We're aware of that. I think everybody's aware of that. And we want to see improvement, as per our previous statement, where we've made it very clear what we'd like to see as a result of it and where we're focusing our energies to turn that around. Ultimately, we want to encourage that the relationship to move forward. We can't force Clem to sell, no matter what happens, even if we boycott and protest, etc. We can't force Clem to sell up. But what we can do is, with a collaborative relationship, is encourage and pursue and hold the club accountable. And let's not forget, there's a very different circumstance to where we were with Lee Power. Lee Power excommunicated the Trust. He didn't want to talk to us. He was doing some incredibly shady deals. And ultimately, that's why the Trust called for that protest. There was a resolution in mind. There was a smoking gun. There was clear evidence of, you know, us being communicated out, is that there was something that needed to be done there, and the Trust could do something about achieving that ambition. But like I said, I think we've got a bit of road to run yet before we're anywhere near back that sort of situation is what we had with Lee Power personally.
Yeah, there'll be more protest-related stuff a bit later on. But in relation to statements, and the next question says here, some felt the Trust's recent statement was too soft towards the club. Others saw it as a sensible way to lay down expectations, but are unsure how willing and strong the Trust will be in holding the club to account. How firm can the Trust Board commit to being in this regard?
At the end of the day, I think the evidence of what we've done to date is already speaking volumes. I'm not going to sit here and repeat that any further than what I've already said. All I'm going to say to fans is, if you think that we're being soft, or if you believe that's our intention, then that's your opinion. You're absolutely entitled to it, and I'm not going to begrudge anybody for having their opinion on what we should and shouldn't be doing. The Trust is very much trying to find that middle ground that appeals to the whole fan base and represent the whole fan base's views and opinions. And ultimately, judge us by our actions. That's all I can say. From somebody on the inside that saw the last board to the new board, you know, there is certainly a new vigour and energy about the new Trust that I think is going to hold the club accountable to issues that arise. Like if there's another HMRC payment again, or any fines and deductions or whatever that might be that come out of the EFL, then for sure you can certainly expect the Trust to be quite vocal about that. And that's, you know, I'm not saying how, in terms of that could be public, that could be private. We'll, on each situation we discuss as a board that's united, that's an agreed position, and we will make the decision of which solution to pursue based on all the information that we have available to us in the scenario and situation that sits before us.
And let's hope for no admin errors then.
100%. No more admin errors, no. Please.
Meanwhile, Andy, how are you doing? You comfortable?
I'm loving witnessing a podcast being recorded. It's fantastic. He's very good, isn't he?
Isn't he?
He's got a career in politics. It's going to be amazing.
That's for sure. That's for sure. Okay, let's go with some more quite clear wording. Do you think you have been more of a gullible girlfriend rather than the intended critical friend at times? And how do you rectify that going forward?
Oh dear God, you wasn't wrong with the type of questions here, Rich. Yeah, I think we've already covered it in a lot of ways. You know, judged by the actions, I'm not going to sit here and say, trust us, we've got this. Just by all means, you know, we can say what we can say. We've already said it. We're gonna carry on down that track with our actions as we've already laid out. And ultimately, if you think that you can add value to what we're doing as a Trust Board, then I just implore you to join the Trust, become that member, stand in the AGM, set out your mandate to what you would like to see changed within that position statement to as part of the election process. And if fans agree with it, they'll vote you onto the board. And as part of that, in the democratic of the organisation, you know, your views will be very much heard at the table and represented at that point. And it's not saying that we won't listen before that, of course, but, you know, if you feel like we're not doing the fan base any justice and you want to make sure that your views are heard directly, then by all means, come get involved. We want more people to be involved. More people involved and the stronger our voices as a fan base, 100%.
Sure. Okay, what gives you any confidence that Clem and his associates have the ability and experience that would allow them to run and improve the club when all the evidence suggests they are inept and clueless?
Wow.
I mean, this is the fan base, isn't it, really? I know, you know, there's a lot of accusations of echo chambers, and there are fans that are content with a cautious eye. But this sort of rhetoric has been around for a good while now. So you can understand why people have this cynicism, especially when we've gone from good season to poor season to really poor season. And if things don't improve, abysmal season isn't something I want to think about.
100%. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm fearful for next season, based on our current trajectory. It does fill me with dread to what we'll be watching next season. But the other part of me is cautiously optimistic that another rebuild, you might get some gems in there. But look, you know, the whole reason why I joined the Trust just over 2 years ago now was because I had belief at that time that Clem was the person to sort all the off-field issues out from the Lee Power era, and that we were going to go into the right direction. Now, we've seen as part of that over the last couple of years, that is yet to materialise, in my opinion. There are some improvements without a doubt. You know, the advisory board is a regular engagement on a monthly basis with a broad selection of representatives and stakeholders, including the Trust and the OSC. There have been fan forums. There have been a lot of things that have moved forward. But, you know, as we set out in our previous statement, there are a lot of things that have also gone wanting, and there are a lot of areas of improvement. And I don't think Clem will shy away from that. I think there's a lot of stuff that he would broadly agree with. The inconsistency on the pitch this season, I think, is a direct representation to what is occurring off the pitch. And that's my personal belief, that you can only have a successful team on the pitch when you've got a successful team off the pitch. And we've seen a lot of turnover within the club staff and the back office. A lot of staff are doing their roles for the first time in their careers. So there's a lot there that can be improved and will improve over time. Ultimately, it needs a strong strategy. It needs to turn it around in the direction that it's moving to, without a shadow of a doubt, especially on the field. But as a Trust, we can only stand fast and watch and try to influence and encourage the ownership to make the right decisions in how they move forward and how this team progresses next year.
Does the Trust think the current ownership can turn this around?
I don't know Clem well enough to be able to answer that question. Ultimately, you know, Clem owning the football club, it is his first ever football club. He's not in the country that often. The CEO, first time running a football club as well. So, you know, I think there's some question marks there for sure. It is per any fan base or anyone in the fan base thinking that. But, you know, there's opportunities for the leadership of the club to change tack and change direction. And we've seen it in many other clubs. Like, you just look at Wrexham, and I appreciate Wrexham has spent a lot of money, but one of the first things that the guys from Hollywood did was they brought in people that knew and understood football. And you can say what you like about how much money Wrexham have spent. They've spent it well. And they've got what they needed to get done. And we've seen it previously under Paolo Di Canio, etc. Like, spend a lot of money and spend it wisely. and you can have success. And even in teams in Swindon that we've seen on smaller budgets have success. If you do it right, it's going to work. But you need to have the knowledge, the know-how, and the execution to be able to deliver on that. And we'll see what happens next season.
You're doing well. You're doing well. Loads more to cover. Next question. Next question says, having followed Swindon Town Football Club for 30 years, seeing the club run in a professional way with a sensible approach developing the squad, support staff and back office operations feels like a pipe dream. Does the trust feel Clem can achieve this, or do you think another owner is required? So again, very much similar to the last question, but really pushing you on it.
Very much pushing me on it. And I'm going to throw this one out to Andy to answer.
I mean, ultimately, it's not in Clem's interest for the club to fail. We fall down to National League. His asset becomes significantly less than the amount of money that's owed to underwrite the club. I can just see the underside of the bus at the moment, Tom. All I can say is, I guess, we can just hope that the continued feedback from the fan base, the feedback from the trust, is going to hit home. And next season, things turn around.
Yes, gosh, I hope you're right. Okay, we'll give you a little break from that stuff. We have a question here saying, how much of the ED money is left? And are there any plans for that money, if there are any?
I know this one.
Hey,
there we go. I got in there first. So the ED legacy money isn't trust money. It isn't SDFC money. It's controlled by the trustees. So ultimately, we don't have an answer. I've picked a really easy one to pipe up on.
Okay, we'll move swiftly on then. So after their aborted look at the club finances and the recent fair play report, do they have, they being you, the trust, have a position on what you believe the status of the football club's finances really are? And if it's sustainable, have you been given any assurances of the future? What was their trust's, or what was the trust's opinion of the Fair Game report? Were you expecting more, and were you shown it up front?
We were not shown it up front. I think, as a fan base, we were expecting more. But it's also important to note that this is step one of a venture that SDFC is going into with Fair Game. In terms of the status of the club finances, really, and is it sustainable? Ultimately, the only people who truly know the finances are going to be Clem and the accountancy team within SDFC and the CEO, senior management within SDFC. The accounts don't paint the prettiest picture. The value of the club to the loans and the money owed to fund the club on an ongoing basis doesn't look fantastic. And so it's definitely something that we're keeping an eye on. And I think I've answered all those questions.
Have the trust had any conversations directly with Clem Mulfooney and Anthony Hall yet on the perceived state of Swindon Town on and off the pitch?
Yes. I'm not so much sure about conversations with the CEO, but there definitely have been direct conversations between the trust and Clem directly. Yeah, that's an ongoing relationship and conversation for sure. Those conversations, I can be truthful in saying, are, to my knowledge, being quite frank and quite honest and open. And that seems to be quite well received by Clem.
Okay. Right, a couple of questions on worst case scenarios and succession planning. So following recent tweets from one board member, is the trust looking into succession planning for post-Clem? And are the trust beginning to put together a plan for the worst case scenario if we are relegated in the next year or so. The question has been for next season, which could happen if things don't change. If this happens, our costs will not drastically reduce immediately, but our income will plummet, which runs the risk of killing the club if things go the way they have done so far. We need to know the trust is planning a contingency to help the club survive it, because with the current ownership, I don't believe we'd survive.
I can appreciate the sentiment expressed by the individual raising the question. In terms of the answering the first part of the question, just would like to stress really that individual board members expressing their opinions on Twitter are expressed by themselves. They're not necessarily a representative of the trust. If you want to understand the trust position, the trust official channels is the only source of representation or the answer on and the views and opinions on such. We speak with that single voice through those channels. In the second half of the question, you know, as we covered earlier, there isn't any plans in place around successions or, you know, trying to find somebody to buy Clem out. It's not there yet. But, you know, just to reference again, we are a new board. We're only a month or less than 2 months in, or maybe just more than 2 months now. Less than 3 months in. God, time's going quickly this year. So, you know, there's a lot that we need to get through as a board and get on top of, understand and see where things go. It's very much a wait and watch to see what happens and deal with the problems as they come. Anybody who watches STFC Twitter knows that there's always a problem at least once a week that something's blowing up about, which is very time consuming to have to watch and be ready and prepared for. So, at the moment we're very much in that here and now. Let's see what happens. But, you know, we remain vigilant, we remain steadfast in our position and what's going on and off the pitch. And, you know, all options are open in the future. I can't rule anything out for sure, no.
I know quite a few fans always say, we'll never have our club back if the fans don't own the club themselves. Do the Trust have any sort of long-term ambitions of being the owners of the club?
I think it's an interesting concept. You know, we've seen it with other football clubs up and down the Football League, some with success, some with not. And it's certainly an interesting question. I wouldn't say that the Trust has a position on that at this point, merely because we've not really discussed it as a new board yet. There's been a lot of other stuff to kind of chew through first. But, you know, never say never. It's an option certainly on the table if the opportunity arises and there's a need to, for sure.
Yeah. This next question is very matter of fact. There are interested parties in buying Swindon Town Football Club. Clem Mulfooney has said he's open to conversations, but there are strong rumours from reliable people in the club that there isn't really this willingness. Can the Trust get involved and potentially pressure the club to engage with interested parties, and how would that work? And of course, that would be on the basis that you got wind of it and it was accurate information, of course.
Look, we've seen the rumours as much as anybody else. Of course, we hear snippets, we hear bits and pieces, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're true. It's incredibly difficult to know what's going on unless we've got a fly on the wall in the inside of the club, that we're hearing it firsthand. Then, you know, what can you do anything with on that? It is certainly interesting. But, you know, from our knowledge, and at least we would expect somebody to contact us in regards to purchasing the club, as we are, you know, 50-50 on the ground and such, we're quite an important stakeholder. So, you know, if there was any contact, it would be probably to the chair in terms of having that discussion. I'm not aware of any conversations that have already happened. But yeah, like we've heard the same rumours as everybody else, and nothing ever seems to come of it. So again, we remain vigilant, we remain steadfast. We're here to speak to anybody that is the owner of the football club, whether that's Clem at this point in time or anybody in the future. We are here agnostic of the owner.
The next question, we look back to Phil King, because you've got to widen the net, haven't you? Australia, Karachi. So the question here is, do the Trust have a position on Karachi? Do they think it is acceptable to be paying staff to help Zav Austin with his little project when it's obviously nothing to do with the club? Seems odd to staff it, fly people there, when the hierarchy are clearly struggling to manage a budget. That's fair enough, that bit, isn't it? I mean, ultimately, we don't know who's paying for it, is probably the answer, isn't it?
Yes, basically. I think, yeah, when you take into account the apparent struggles in financing on the pitch, it does seem unusual that finance would be put into Karachi. But the owner's last comments in January were that Mr. Austin is not attached to the club, so it's really hard to actually assess. We would probably just ask the club to, I guess, in light of rumours this weekend, expand on what Zav Austin's role is at the club, and whether there is, well, what is happening with Karachi and any other abroad STFC badged ventures.
Yeah. And I think that's where the confusion is, or why it's easy for fans, including myself, to question it, because they keep saying it's nothing to do with us and our badge is all over it. Both Australia and the Pakistan venture. I mean, you pretty much answered one of the next questions, was what is your understanding of the roles of Zav Austin and Adam Hart? But we'll merge it into a question that we got more recently, is, are the Trust aware of the planned protest and a confrontation from Zav Austin, who Clem said isn't part of the club, and made the organiser, Jason Lane, cancel it? This thuggish behaviour from our club, and not what it should be. If the summer is below expectations and there are genuine fears of relegation, would the Trust become the fans' voice when it comes to protest, or will the Trust stand aside and watch it happen? General views on protest is what we're looking for here.
At the end of the day, like we've already said before, with in regards to protests, if there is a protest that needs to be backed, it needs to have an outcome out of it. And at the moment, from our position as the Trust, you know, there are conversations ongoing, as I've already detailed, with Clem directly. And as we've outlined within our recent statement, the things that we want to see change and where we're focusing our energies to encourage the club to turn that around. In terms of Zav and Jason's apparent conversation, I don't quite understand what actually happened, to be honest. And going off of the conversations or the tweets on Twitter, X, about it, I don't really know what caused the protest to be suspended. That I don't think has been established, apart from there was a conversation apparently, and this is apparently what was said. But, you know, at the end of the day, Zav is, from our understanding, a match day guest of the owner.
It's one of the phrases of the generation, isn't it, of this generation?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think somebody said that I read that Zav was just walking in and just happened to... I don't know. This is just the ambiguity in it all that I don't really understand.
Well, what about if we put the protest aside, because sadly not that many saw it. It wasn't recorded, and we have one side of events, and I've got no reason to think that they weren't legitimate retelling. It's hard to discuss it from my perspective and from your perspective. But what about the trust understanding of the roles of Zav Austin and Adam Hart as well?
Well, I believe Adam Hart is employed as a strength and conditioning coach for at least the academy team. And I believe that's his role within the club. Zav, I believe and understand to be a match day guest. I unless anything else is written down on paper or somebody has information that is other than that, I don't think there's much more I can really say. We've asked the questions repeatedly through various advisory boards, and that is the latest answer. Or to quote a former CEO, that is what we'll be saying today.
Hello, everybody. Summer is here, and when there's no Swindon Town, I do enjoy using my favourite streaming services to watch, you know, the same old comedies I've watched a billion times before. But hey, I love it, okay? So don't judge. Alas, being away overseas on holiday in the Chateau means I have to go without some of those shows until I've returned home. But no more. NordVPN allows you to watch sporting events, TV shows, and films which aren't available in your region by switching your virtual location with one click to a country which is showing the content. NordVPN acts as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands. NordVPN is the price of a cup of coffee per month, and one NordVPN account can be used across 6 devices. To get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/lovestrangers. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and the link is in the podcast episode description box. Enjoy your summer.
Hi, LSPod fans, it's JR here, enthusiastic contributor and former Swindon McDonald's employee. Farewell, Outlet Village. One time I got to serve the then Swindon manager, Roy Evans. Yes, I know what you're wondering. Big Mac with medium fries. And admittedly, while Roy may have regretted some choices at SM1, well, you can't go wrong with the classics. And you can't go wrong with McDelivery, where instead of you getting in a time machine and coming to me, your favourites can come to you. Order now on the McDonald's app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi, this is Jan Fjortoft, and welcome, and I'm on Love Strangers. It's so hard for Norwegian. Love Strangers.
Right, you've done a very good job with the relationship of STFC. Now we move towards talking about the county ground. First question here is that a statue is a great part of history and honouring legends of the past, but it feels like a lot of cash that could have gone to much more community-focused projects at this time, such as toilets and accessibility projects. Can we get clarity on the trust priorities moving forward? Before you go into the last bit, how is the statue coming along?
Wonderful. I believe it's finished. We're waiting for a plinth. There's some news coming very soon in regards to all of that. So watch out. We'll be sharing some exciting news very soon.
Very good. And what about the trust priorities with their own funding moving forward?
At the end of the day, the funding that we receive generously from our members that donate to us on a monthly and annual basis All of the money goes back into SCFC related projects, whether that be the county ground, the sensory room, the junior reds room, and the refurb around that. You know, all of the money that we raise does go back into benefiting the club. We are very cautious about spending any money of any significance, because ultimately it's money that our members are donating to us to benefit the club. You know, the most recent one is the community foundation. We put £3,000 towards their new minibus, and you know, all of the money that we generate, it only goes back into benefiting the club with, you know, player sponsorship, which we get tickets, which as you may or may not have seen, we had 10 members join us for the sponsors dinner this year. There were other trust board members in attendance, but all the trust board members paid for their own ticket. There's additional extra. But anything that we receive out of it, in terms of from members, always goes back into the club. It doesn't go anywhere else. And on the statue, I appreciate it's a significant sum, which some may feel is better spent elsewhere. But as a membership, as it was more than £25,000 in cost, we followed the rules. We asked the members. The members voted overwhelmingly in support of it. And that's how it's proceeded, really. So it was an idea that had floated around and it was democratically voted for by the members that donate the money. You know, and if there's other ideas or projects that are STFC related that come to us and whatnot, then we'll be more than happy to consider donating to those too, if it's appropriate for our membership, of course.
Cool. Okay. What do the trust see as the highest priorities for ground improvements and over what timescales? And the next question is very similar. Well, the addition of a roof on the Stratton Bank seems to be a high priority for some. It's clear to any season ticket holder that bringing some basic facilities, toilets, catering, signage, etc., up to date in the rest of the ground is more urgent and ought to be a quick win.
So in terms of priorities for ground improvement, I think short term is safety critical items, make sure that everything is up to code, followed by essential repairs and improvements. Medium term, ground enhancements, stadium redevelopment, that type of thing. In terms of the other elements, it's important to remember that the club has a 250-year lease through the JV, and the club is responsible to do remedial work as is Rob as the tenant. And that's kind of where we are with those things.
Okay, so next question is, when does the trust understand shovels will break ground on county ground redevelopments? What are the reasons for the delays? Many fans are quoting the statement from the club saying a roof over the Stratton Bank would begin pronto. It appears to me the ground has deteriorated, if anything. And also another question here is, do the trust think the county ground would look any different in 10 or 15 years' time if the hierarchy remains?
I certainly hope that the county ground will look different in 10 to 15 years for sure. And appreciate, you know, it appears that the ground has deteriorated, if anything. The fact is, with the ground, it's had a large period of time where no repairs were made to the stadium, and you know, the chickens are coming to roost on that. So that's what a lot of the bits and pieces that are happening at the moment around the JV are focusing on, and getting those short-term repairs, remedial repairs up to scratch. That's our priority focus at the moment. In terms of the longer-term plan, we are expecting and hoping that plans on the master vision for the county ground site is coming forward in the next JV meeting. And from there, we'll be able to see a North Star of where we're aiming to go and what comes next. So I'm certainly hopeful that we'll be able to get there for sure in the next 10 to 15 years. It will be a travesty if nothing is changed in 10 to 15 years for sure.
Mm, yeah. Next question then. Part of the rental understanding is this is to be returned for works to the stadium. Have works been quoted previously and agreed prior to the funds returning? If not, they should be. And would you consider withholding those funds moving forward?
So at the end of the day, the money that comes from or comes into the joint venture is rental money paid by the club as a part of the agreement of that leasehold for the stadium. The money is then spent on the remedial works or what has been agreed as part of the JV, which is also part of the business plan that has been proposed and voted on with a successful resolution by the members. So if those who haven't seen that would like to see that, then by all means become a member. That means you'll be able to see the business plans, you'll be able to see the business cases for what we plan the money to be spent on, which has been pre-agreed by the joint venture. And as a member, you have the ability to vote on that business proposal and put those opinions across. So I'd fully encourage anybody to get involved with that and see those proposals up front.
Cool. Final one on the county ground then. So 1 year of free for ground development's gone. It looks like the handover back to the council is ticking. No change on and off the pitch continues. Fans disgruntled. Our fans are real people, so please don't pull the wool over their eyes. I guess the thing there really for me, because that's a statement, not a question, but thank you for it. Is there any genuine risk of the county ground going back to the council, as that doesn't seem beneficial to anyone?
It's certainly an interesting question, and taking my trust hat off for a second. We know
you get a hat.
Oh, it's perks of joining the board. No, I'm joking. You get absolutely nothing. for those with those that are local to Swindon, we know that, you know, councils up and down the country are strapped for cash and resource. So, you know, there is certainly an interesting question that if we get to that point, will the council have the money to fund a repurchase of the stadium? Of which, if that was the case, the money would be going back to the EDs in some shape or form to ensure that, you know, Nigel's legacy is protected there. The interesting part though around the time frame is certainly pressing on all of our minds. I wouldn't say that it looks inevitable. At the end of the day, we need to get a £1 million project, shovel breaking ground, signed off and approved. And I think that's certainly reasonable within the time frame that we have left to get that done. Now, don't quote me on that as saying that we will get it done. I certainly hope that we will. But, you know, there's a lot of moving parts to it. There's a lot of stakeholders involved in regards to, you know, the ownership of the club. Clem ultimately needs to be able to provide that funding to make that happen. And we are asking those questions to, okay, we are going to be doing X, Y, Z. How are we going to fund it? So there's a lot of conversation to be had around that. There's a lot of things to be settled, a lot of moving parts to be seized in terms of stop moving, but yes, it's certainly not forgotten. I can assure you of that.
Okay, right. We move to the final, the home straight thank you for all of these questions and thank you for answering them. It's been good fun so far. So Trust General, I've put this, and I couldn't find places for them. So here we go. As an organisation that proudly calls itself the voice of the fans, when are they going to start engaging with their members slash fans and start canvassing them about what they would like to see done about the current situation? And I guess that could be expanded to more broader things as well.
We've probably been a little bit quieter than we intended to be since forming as a board. But as Tom said previously, there was a lot of groundwork to be covered in bringing everybody up to speed, ticking lots of boxes and signing our lives away. In terms of engaging, I mean, we're doing this now. There's a tick in a box, right? Canvassing them, absolutely. I was writing out a questionnaire earlier today. That does not mean it will be out by the weekend, but we are looking at ways of doing that. We're looking at ways of being face to face and having discussions with everyday fans, and just trying to, I guess, get out of our maybe echo chamber and getting off Twitter, definitely, and just finding out what everybody thinks. And yeah, I think that it's definitely something that we're aware of and something that we are working towards.
Cool. The Trust have had a lot of criticism over the last year, maybe. And the next question is, has there been a reduction in memberships in the last year? How many Trust members have left in the last 6 months? And what do you think the reason has been for this? Have you contacted leaving members to gain feedback? And does the reduced numbers cause any issues with the JV structure?
So as the membership secretary, I'm probably the best person to answer this. There's been a lot of turbulence within the fan base over the last 6 to 12 months, particularly this season. Yes, of course, we've seen people leaving, but the reasons for such are quite broad. Let's not forget we're still in a cost of living crisis in many parts of the country, which is certainly a factor for some. The disillusionment with the way that this season has progressed is another reason. And obviously there's no hiding from the fact that there was some disgruntlement about how the Trust has portrayed itself. And with the new board, you know, there's only really one thing that we can control out of that, in terms of what we can do to make a difference. And we're very much committed as a board, united in that venture, to you know, improve the visual perception of the Trust and be out there. You know, as per the last question, we want to engage more with our members. We want to understand more about what our members are saying, so ultimately we can represent the fans. And the more fans that are members gives us a stronger voice to say to the club, look, this is a real problem. Does it cause any issues with the JV with reduced numbers? No, it doesn't. But, you know, it certainly helps when it comes to discussing things with the club and what we think should be moving forward. And, you know, I can only just advocate, really, again, you know, if you want to be part of it and you want to have your voice heard and you want to express your voice on things around the joint venture, etc., then come and get involved, come and be a member, sign up. It's less than 20 quid, and I appreciate for some that might be too much. But there are more ways that you can get involved as well than just that membership as well, and express your voices, and we're certainly ears to everything.
Yeah. Well, the question here: what's your approach to bringing back fans who have moved away from, or they've left the trust because of the negativity towards the organization, as opposed to leaving for any other reason, for those who have been disillusioned, without going into specific detail, have they been satisfied with them to date communication wise with the club? So how are you looking to bring fans back on side? How are you looking to rebuild your reputation with those who have left? And I don't know the numbers. They might be smaller than what is being implied here. But how do you go about winning people back?
For me, you know, we say what we're going to do. We do what we're going to do. And ultimately, the proof is in the pudding that actions speak louder than words, and that, for me, in my personal opinion, is how we're going about it. To my understanding, we want to be out there, we want to be engaging with fans, we want to represent, we want to be able to express those views and opinions clearly to the club with as much swell behind those words as possible. And ultimately, that's what the new board, like, we had five new members step up to the board, and every single one of them said practically the same thing. Want to increase and improve the communications between the trust as an organisation and its fans, and hold the club accountable for the actions that it makes and the choices that they decide on. So that's very much what we're about, what we're trying to do, and, you know, I can only encourage fans to come and join us on that journey, and the more fans and voices that we have in the mix, the stronger that we're ultimately be as a trust and as a fan base when it comes to our club.
I signed up again after the AGM. Was there an increase at that time, or was I in a minority?
There wasn't a groundswell, let's put it that way.
Okay, fair enough.
We're in a kind of a awkward position in that we show our teeth and we show our worth when things go bad. I think that's fair to say, which then means that we have to wish for things to go bad. Obviously, that isn't what we want to happen, but we're kind of in a catch-22 situation. So I guess I would reiterate, I would make that point and then reiterate that being part of the trust, adding your name to the list and putting more weight behind the voice that the trust speaks with can only be a good thing.
The next question is about your stance on what serves the current STFC board being representative of their membership or the wider fan base. And this listener says, as a member considering whether to leave as they don't feel represented, what is your stance on that?
I think it would be, you know, the way that I would answer that is our members are first and foremost. They're the ones that we directly engage with. They're the ones that are on our mailing list at the end of the day. It does sadden me to hear that there are members that do not feel represented, and I can only assume multiple reasons to why. But, you know, rest assured, you know, it's not going to be a fast turnaround. Like, we've only been in place as a new board, as I said already, for a couple of months. And there's been a lot to chew on and a lot of fires to fight in that meantime. So, and the other thing just to harp on about, I guess, is that we are volunteers. We do have all day jobs, and personal lives on top of that. So,
but nobody asked you to volunteer.
Nobody did ask me to volunteer, and I'm doing it out of the joy of and love for the club. By all means, I'm not looking for any special praise or any glory out of it.
Or a hat.
No, definitely not. It'll mess up my hairdo. But, you know, at the end of the day, we are trying to bridge those gaps, and we are trying to reconnect with members in a much more meaningful way. And that's our ambition. That's our vision. We want to be there and engage. And there's lots of plans and ideas that we've got to help us get there. You know, hopefully we'll be able to see some of that before the season is out. And that will continue on into the new season as well, whether that be through digital or physical representation and opportunities to meet. You know, but there's always opportunity to engage with us and ensure that your views are heard, whether that's through DMs on socials or send us an email. We're always happy to, you know, receive those emails and make sure that we do hear exactly what you're saying. And we're always listening.
Cool. Penultimate question. Has one of your new board members done one too many naughty tweets and has thus been forced to close their account on X? Do Tom and Andy agree with that new board member that fans' expectations on timing were too high? And on top of that, I think I would add that something that the previous board got wrong was too much engagement from members of the board from their personal accounts. And it was very matter of fact, and it was very much from the club, it felt at times. And it kind of got a little bit silly at the end. And I think that's why many jumped on this new board member doing similar things, not necessarily from the club, but giving their opinion, knowing that people are reading them, that this individual is a trust board member. It's a tough balancing act, isn't it? But we'll focus on the first question. Were fans' expectations too high? I can't remember what those expectations were in relation to, though. I'm sorry.
So from my understanding, the fans' expectation piece, you know, the messaging that came out of the County Ground purchase was, you know, work's going to start immediately. And, you know, there was a lot of this could happen type of information flying around. That I can understand is why fans' expectations are what they are. You know, myself included, is disappointed that we're not further along. But in hindsight, being the beautiful thing that it is, these things do take time. And we can't lose sight of that. We've got one opportunity to do this and we want to do it right. There's a lot of bits and pieces that we need to settle and sort out. One being funding, one being what that future vision is. Another being, how are we going to generate substantial revenue that's going to help drive the club forward? So there's lots of unanswered questions that we're still working through, and there's been lots of ideas on the table, vetted, binned, new ideas added to the table, etc. And it's just an ongoing process that we're working through as fast as we possibly can as part of that joint venture conversation. In relation to your other parts of the question there, you mentioned about, was he forced to dump his account? Look, as I've said as well earlier in the pod, board members expressing their personal views are on their socials are that. They are their personal views. Nick's decision to close his account was Nick's decision. It wasn't anything that the trust mandated or forced or anything like that. We're not draconian, but we are, you know, we're aware of those conversations. We're aware of those comments, but they're ultimately Nick's views, rather than anything being trust orientated.
Lovely. Okay. Final question. It's in relation to an episode we did recently, an April Fool's episode with myself And Dan and I, we said we'd like to see a list of season ticket holders that aren't renewing until certain conditions are met. Would you push the trust for their views on that? I mean, ultimately, you can understand why fans are holding fire on renewing or purchasing season tickets due to the performance on and off the pitch. For myself, I'll almost certainly renew, but I am holding fire until closer to the deadline for renewing because it just feels like it would be daft and I need to see something significant other than promises in a program statement on the final day against Morecambe, which is what we had last season and possibly the season before that. But you can see why this is such a pivotal moment really for Swindon, because if the echo chambers are accurate, Swindon are going to suffer a real dip in season ticket renewal. And I'm seeing fans on social media who are absolute diehards, who are quite firm in their not this time rhetoric. All it takes is one decision for that to change. Football changes swiftly. I know that. We all know that. But it is a concern, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, it is. It's been a tough season. It's been occasionally a horrible season. We're having discussions within the board about how we can communicate to the club the concerns of the fans. I would have reservations over whether the club have their finger on the pulse of the fans in terms of the apathy that we see on Twitter. Let's call it what it is. Well, apathy bordering into rage.
It used to be you, Andy.
Absolutely no comment. How dare you? Those referees had it coming. And so, yeah, I think that, and Doakes was absolutely incredibly hard done by this weekend. Insane. Anyway, I think that the amount of season tickets that potentially are going to go down, I think that we can act within our role to poll our members and the fan base, find out who has a season ticket, who isn't, actually share that with the club and just, look, you need to have a sign of, show us something, like just do something, get people on side. It seems very easy to say. And like you say, it's very easy to make promises in a programme. But yeah, a sign of intent, I think, is what is required. And a recognition that this season on the pitch hasn't been fantastic. And tangible outcomes on how it can be changed next year.
Yeah, good stuff. No, I completely agree. And for me, it's weird because we buy season tickets because we love football. And I'm holding back not because of the rubbish football. It's because of the way we are seemingly ran. Like, if we have a season where we're top, brilliant. If we have a season that we're near the bottom, bad. But that's not the reason. I don't go to watch Swindon with a divine right for us to win every week. So that's not the main element of why I buy a season ticket. But it's just so sad to me that I am holding fire because of the way we are operated, which just sucks.
Yeah, I think the intent can be on the pitch or off the pitch. I think, as Tom's referenced, and I believe we referenced in our statement, appointing people with some footballing knowledge in non-footballing roles, or people being transparent in what has worked and what has not worked, I think would appease a lot. Well, I won't say a lot of the fans, would go some way to bridging that gap from the club to the fans. And I think that that's probably what is required.
I'll be transparent in saying that unfortunately I won't be renewing my season ticket. At least I'll have to wait at least until January. And that's merely because my partner is pregnant with our second child. I've been banned. Unfortunately, I've been banned from the county ground after the birth in October. So, yeah, you probably won't see me around the county ground much in the first half of the season, but that is not a representative to what is happening on or off the field.
We've just been telling people we want to get out there and meet people, Tom, and now you're coming up with this. This is extreme lengths to get away from it.
I will be there at least before and as much as I possibly can, I can assure you that.
Well, if you get August and September in, you're going for a right treat if the previous two seasons are anything to go by. Yeah, that's a lovely way to end with a lovely conclusion. Congratulations to yourself and your partner there, Tom. And we didn't even have to talk about cheese.
Happy day.
Exactly. Tom, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Rich.
Andy, thank you very much.
Cheers, Rich.
The Low Strangers is an independent supporters podcast. The views given do not reflect those of Swindon Town Football Club or their official partners. The music is provided by the great Matthew Kilford, and the podcast logo was created by the most splendid Matt in Singapore. Thanks for listening.
Come on, you Reds! Come if we did.
Hi, Ellis Pod fans, it's JR here. If Swindon players were McDonald's items, who would they be? We've had lots of Big Macs, like the legendary Alan McLaughlin, Harry McCurdy, or even Steve McMahon. Perhaps you'd prefer to channel the power of McPlant like Darren Ward, or maybe five chicken selects, one to enjoy for each time Ben Gladwin joined. Yep, there's one spare, but there's still time. And you don't need super scouts or data solutions to get your hands on any of these. McDelivery through the McDonald's app brings them all to you. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.